The second prayer in the Bible, I think, is found in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and it goes on down through, and next time we'll get into the Abrahamic covenant, which will be given to Abraham, or Abram at this point, and his name will be changed, and Sarah's name will be changed. But today I just want to look at one verse, just one verse, and break that down just a little bit, because I think there was something a lot here for me, and maybe it'll be for you as well. So verse 1 reads, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. Question, do you ever look at the faith of Abraham and think your faith is almost nothing? I asked that last week and it still is in my mind about Abraham's great faith. Well, we see here another time. This is the fifth time the Lord has appeared to Abraham that we have recorded in the scriptures. And it brings to mind maybe you or maybe me getting kind of tired and discouraged at times while we wait on the Lord. Do you ever feel that way? You're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on the Lord. You're trying your best to be faithful to the Lord, but just nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to be happening. In fact, it seems to be going the other way. You're not getting closer to what you think the Lord is wanting you to do. It seems like everything is against you and you're going the other way. Well, how many of you at such times of kind of discouragement do you launch out on your own? Do you think, well, this is the best idea. I haven't really heard anything specific from the Lord, but I think he's leading me in this direction, so let's just go for it. Let's step out in faith. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had your own Hagar plan? Lord, bless the Hagar plan. This is the best thing that I can think of. Let's do it. Well, question, how does the Lord develop faith in us? How does the Lord develop faith in you? We want to be people of faith, right? Well, how is that developed? When we see everything that's happening? I don't think so. Abram was known as both a friend of God and a man of faith. Do those terms describe you at all? How wholeheartedly given over to the Lord is your present walk? So just wanted to look at those things this morning a little bit. In the first phrase we have, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Now this is 13 or 14 years after the last appearance. And the last appearance was about the time of the birth of Ishmael. So it appears that there's about a 13-year period here where we don't have the Lord appearing to Abram at all. He may have, but we don't have it appearing in the scriptures. And so for 13 years now, Abram has launched out on his own with Sarah's advice. We got to help God out with this. You know, he promised you a child about 12, 13 years before Ishmael came along, before their plan. And now it's been about another 12 or 13 years. So this is about 25 years after God had promised Abram a son. And I can imagine that first 12, 13 years with Ishmael was not a happy time. We know that Hagar showed extraordinary displeasure with Sarah and probably rubbed it in every day because it was such a shameful thing to be barren. And in that society, here's Abram and Sarah barren all their married life, and he marries Hagar, and boom, son right off the bat. So it's your fault, Sarah. You're the problem reason that you couldn't have any kids. Look at me. Look at my son. And I can just imagine that that was not a good time in that tent or in those tents for Abram and Sarah. But now God appears to him, 99 years old. You know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know how old that is. If you're going to live to be 175, 99 is only about 45 years old. So this isn't a death's door, I don't think. Although for us, 99 sounds like, wow, you know, we're about there, right? But whatever age, I think the Lord is calling us to walk with him. And how is he calling us to walk? Well, he is coming before Abram and he is saying, I am Almighty God. I am God Almighty, or El Shaddai is the Hebrew term. El signifies the right arm of strength. Shaddai really speaks of a breast of a mother's feeding place, really, for the infant. So if you get this picture of all-sufficient God, very strong, totally strong, but yet having a mother's love and the sustenance. He gives us all sustenance. So he is our provider, Shaddai, but he's also our strong right hand. So God says, that's who I am. Now, earlier he was just referring to himself, I believe, as Yahweh, and he said, I've not declared my name to anyone, but here he says, I'm God Almighty. I'm God Almighty. That's who I am. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means to you now, you're to walk before me and be blameless. It's kind of like in Leviticus and on through the Bible where it says, God says to his children Israel, be holy. For why? For I am holy. Now, as you look at that, how in the world can you walk blameless? How in the world can you be holy just because God is holy? Well, there's a couple of things come to mind. Number one, he enables us, does he not? And with that enablement, we have no chance of doing what he's commanding us. But he never gives us a command without giving us enablement, number one. Number two, I see that as a very loving command. I don't see it as a harsh command because he knows what's best for us. He knows that if we walk blameless, wholeheartedly or perfect, or other words for that word blameless, that we will be on the best plane. We'll be where we should be, not groveling around down here in our own messes and our own problems and our own solutions that don't work out. So he is saying here, I am strong right arm who provides everything for you. Now you walk before me and be blameless. This word blameless, as I mentioned, also means wholeheartedly. And I can just see, in a sense, at this point now in Abram's walk, he has not been wholeheartedly to the Lord. He spent the last 12, 13 years with a divided heart in a way, right? Because he's not walking in the way the Lord has advised him. He's walking in the way of the flesh, the arm of the flesh. Oh, we'll take matters into our own hands. We'll have our own child. You can't get around to it, Lord. Maybe you need our help, right? So I think Abram is being told here he wants God wants his whole heart, and he wants your whole heart. And so as you look at your life today, how much of your life is really spent following the Lord and the Lord's will, and how much of your life is spent following your own will and your own plans and the influences of others in the world? And I think all of us have at times in our lives, I think, that we can maybe see a little bit of a transition where we're relying more and more on the Lord. But still, he wants our whole heart, doesn't he? He wants us to walk wholeheartedly. Another word for that word, blameless, is perfect. He wants us to be perfect in terms of giving our whole life to him and not being imperfect by being in the flesh. So he says, I'm Almighty God, walk before me blameless or blamelessly. And so I think that's kind of the underlying things here for us. And so as we look at this, we want to ask ourselves, are we willing to wait on the Lord during those seasons when we don't hear from him? Here Abram waited for 13 years, really, I guess, since the last time he heard from the Lord. That's a long time. How many of you waited 13 years to hear from the Lord? I mean, in a sense, it would be like taking all your Bibles away from you and forbidding you to pray for 13 years, right? Not necessarily, but Abram didn't have the Bible. The only time he was hearing from the Lord really was when the Lord spoke to him. But we have the Word of God available to us all the time, don't we? And so, are we willing to wait for him? Are we recognizing that that's a time when our faith is strengthened and grows while we don't see what we want and while we're not getting what we want and while there's nothing on the horizon that looks like what we want in terms of God's will? Well, Abram had a little trouble waiting, you know, and he and Sarah got together and cooked up this plan with Hagar, and it didn't work out very well, did it? They're still warring even today with the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac. So walk blameless, be holy. In Leviticus, as I mentioned, God, speaking to the congregation of the children of Israel, said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in 1 Peter, we have that echoed. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully, wholeheartedly, upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we're to walk blamelessly, we're to be holy. We're to walk blamelessly in a wholehearted work, a wholehearted walk. Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. In verse 113, I hate the double-minded. Opposite of wholeheartedly is double-mindedness, isn't it? We've got one mind on the Lord and one mind on the world, or one mind on the Lord and one mind on ourselves. The psalmist here says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And then we're to walk blamelessly or perfectly. Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength, that's the El and the El Shaddai really, and makes my way perfect. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So Lord, as we look at this text today, we recognize, yes, indeed, you are holy, you are perfect, you are Jehovah the provider, the all-sufficient one, you are God Almighty. And as you tell us, as you are holy, we are to be holy. And as you told Abram, I am El Shaddai, now you walk blameless. So Lord, as we approach your throne this morning, we want to pray for all things surrounding this. We want to pray for the body of Christ around the world. We want to pray for the body of Christ here. And who is the body of Christ but us, individuals? The body of Christ is the people. And so we pray for this blameless walk. We pray for a wholehearted walk. We pray for a perfect walk as it is being led by you. And so we want to pray for our pastors. We want to pray for Brian. We want to pray for all of those involved here with the leadership of the church. But really, the leadership is nothing but a kind of an extension of the church itself. And so it is the church meeting right here this morning, at least a little part of it, that we want to pray. And other things that you bring to our hearts. And you've laid things on each of us, Lord, for the lost, for the believers, for being fruitful in every good work, for various outreaches and various ministries that we're aware of, Lord, and leadership, really, of the nation, of the state, of the county, for the Congress, Lord, for the judges and for those in authority, Lord, for our schools, for our children, Lord, for Sacramento and that production of just noxious bills that seems to keep flowing out. And Lord, we know it's the heart of the people that permit that to go on, that permits the leaders to do that. But we could pray against that, I believe, as well. So lead us in this time of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer, and we thank you for the access to your throne. So we bow down humbly now, and may we pray in one accord, as we are knowing that prayer is responding to your spirit, and as you lead us, Holy Spirit, may we respond as one body in Jesus' name.